Good morning, everyone. It's really good that you can be with us. If you're watching out there somewhere and you don't usually join with us, my name's Dougie, and welcome to the morning service of Berry Street Community Church. I'm the pastor of this local church in North London. If you're watching either now or on YouTube later on, you will need a Bible, and it will be really handy to have that nearby. Listen to how Hebrews 10 describes the Lord Jesus Christ. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Our Lord Jesus Christ offered up his body in our place, and now he sits at the right hand of God. His perfect sacrifice makes us holy in God's sight. Now let's offer up our worship as we sing, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story, a great old hymn. If you're watching at home, you're on mute, so you can sing as loudly as you want. And you may even enjoy standing to sing as we would do at church. So let's sing. Ailey, if you can roll the tape, that would be great.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross on Calvary. I was lost, but Jesus found me. Sheep that went astray, through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Fades was I from many a fall. Sight was gone and fears possessed me, but he freed me from them all. Days of darkness still come over me, sorrow's path I often tread, but the Savior still is with me. By his hand I'm safely led. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. He'll bear me safely over. All my joys in him complete. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise and worship you today, many of us as forgiven sinners, able to approach you because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you sent him, that he would willingly pay the price of our forgiveness at Calvary. We've sung, Father, that we did not deserve this. We were lost, but Jesus found us. Thank you that he is a good shepherd who loves his sheep, who feeds his sheep, who gently cares for us. We praise you for his grace towards us this week. Father, in so many ways, we recognized it and knew that you were at work, but there's been lots of ways where we've not even acknowledged your grace towards us. Have mercy on us today. Draw us closer to the Lord Jesus and to one another. Would we learn to be as gracious to each other as you are to us? And would your word do its transforming work in each of our lives? Please, would you forgive again our many sins? And would today be a day of salvation? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, boys and girls, grown-ups, you are going to need a Bible for this part of our service, and you're going to need to turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 in your Bibles. And I'm going to read from verse 6. Okay, Luke chapter 12, verse 6. I'll give you just a moment to find that. Okay, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and in Luke chapter 12, verse 6, he says this: are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. Boys and girls, let me tell you today, you are worth more than many sparrows. Grown-ups, you are worth more than many sparrows. I don't know if anyone has ever told you that, but it means that God cares for you. God cares for you. In these verses, the Lord Jesus is speaking about, he's speaking about sparrows. What are sparrows? Well, sparrows are little birds. This isn't really a sparrow, but it's a little bird that I brought from home, and it makes a noise a bit like a sparrow. You listening? Okay. I don't know if sparrows, probably sparrows don't make that noise, but this is my little sparrow. Okay, now God cares about sparrows. That's what the Lord Jesus says. They're not important birds. You might see them in your garden. Maybe if you've got a bird feeder or if you put bread out for the birds, you might see some sparrows flying around, bounding around. They don't look very impressive. They're not as colorful as this guy. They make a different noise from that. But God knows all about every sparrow in our garden, how they spend their day, what they sing about, what they eat. We're told in these verses that God knows every sparrow. But Jesus says that God says you are more important to him than sparrows. In fact, God says, and well, point to your hair. I know there's not many left here in my head, but point to your hair. Yeah, I can see some of you doing that. God even knows how many hairs you have in your head. Some have a lot more than others. But God knows you so well and cares about you so well. He knows each bit of hair in your head. Why? Because he cares for you. You're worth more to him than many sparrows. How do I know that God cares about you? Well, he sent the Lord Jesus to find you so that you could know God, so that you could become part of God's family. I know that God cares about you and you're worth more to him than many sparrows because the Lord Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins. And as we ask the Lord Jesus to forgive all the wrong things that we've done, we become part of God's family. And all through our lives, God promises that he'll look after us and care for us. Boys and girls, grown-ups, God cares for you. You're worth more today than many sparrows. Trust him. We're going to sing again. a song that I love, because it says that God speaks. God speaks to us. He tells us that he cares for us. We're worth more to him than many sparrows, and we need to listen. Ailey, please roll.
God speaks, we listen, wanna hear his word every day. God speaks, we listen, read the Bible, trust and obey. No better way to truly know God, no better way to truly know us, no better way to truly
that, boys and girls and grown-ups too. So loads of people doing some actions there. Let me give you some notices for this coming week and the weeks ahead. Please, if you'd like any details about this local church, then do contact us. You'll find the details on the church website of how to do that. After our meeting this morning, after our service, we're going to have some breakout groups. We'd love for you to hang around and get to know us a little bit better. Please do stay. Now, tomorrow night at 8 p.m. on Zoom, we're going to have a church family meeting, okay? And we have these a couple of times a year where we discuss some plans. The leaders take some time to lay out, here's how we're trying to move forward as a local church. We'll hear about the budget. We're going to hear about some building work. Please, if you consider yourself part of this local church family, come along to that tomorrow night on Zoom. If you don't have the details, then contact us and we can send them to you. Come and take part, ask questions. It's one of the reasons we have this. We want to be open about these things. So that's tomorrow night at 8. The rest of the week is kind of as usual. Tuesday night, we'll meet at 8 p.m. for a prayer meeting. Thursday, the ladies will meet at 1:30 for the Together Bible study. Friday night at 8 p.m., our young people will meet on Zoom. And then next Saturday, 8:30, some of the guys get together on Zoom and have a Bible study for about an hour. Now, one other thing to say is that the plan at the moment is that next Sunday at 10:30, we plan to meet in the building, okay? You may want to have a think about whether or not that is a wise thing for you or your family to do. We're still going to record the service, but it may not quite look like this. So please consider if next Sunday you can meet with us in the building. I will email out the kind of the usual church family about that. We are going to still need to wear face masks. We'll need to book in. Sadly, we won't be able to have congregational singing, but as part of moving forward and the easing of lockdown restrictions, we think that starting to meet together in the building next Sunday is a really good idea. And for those who can't or won't, we're still going to record. We're going to try this week to figure out how the best way of either live streaming, and if not, then we'll record it. We'll stick it up on YouTube later on next Sunday. So that's the plan. If you've got any questions about that, please contact myself or Nigel or Veman and the other church leaders, and we can help answer some of those questions. The big thing, please remember tomorrow night, the church family meeting at 8 p.m. I'm going to ask Nigel and Anna if they will lead us in prayer.
Okay, we're going to pray for one of our mission partners, the needs of people in our fellowship, for our country, some church matters in the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for John and Janice Frost in Tottenham and their desire to bring the Lord Jesus to people living in the street. We pray for their church, who's running online services at the moment, and that they and many other believers will be strengthened and will grow in wisdom, stature, and in the knowledge of the Lord, and that they will be equipped for every good work you've set out for them to do. We pray that many others would join these online services as well, that they would hear the gospel being proclaimed and come to Christ. And we pray for strength specifically for John and Janice, and ask that when it's so difficult to run their regular outreach work, that you would somehow bring them into contact with those they long to see saved, and that they might be able to share the Lord Jesus with them. We bring before you Michael's funeral on Thursday, and we ask that you would comfort Jenny. We ask that you would equip Doogie as well as he leads the service, that he would do so with wisdom and tact in a way that would both honour Michael, but also the, point the mourners, particularly Jenny, to the Lord Jesus. We pray for our young people who are anxious about going back to school next week. Lord, we ask that you would keep them safe, that social distancing would be adhered to in public transport and in the school, classroom and corridors, and that you would give them peace in their hearts and that they would be able to concentrate on their work. Help them too to integrate back into their friendship groups and that they would be able to speak of the Lord Jesus in some way to their friends. We also pray for those suffering mental health issues at the moment, whether due to lockdown or otherwise. We ask, Lord, that you would calm their fearful or saddened hearts, remove their anxiety, and we encourage them and may encourage them to gaze upon the Lord Jesus, the provider of all things and the one in whom we trust. Father, we thank you that you've answered our prayers about slowing the spread of COVID-19 and for providing vaccines for the coronavirus. And we thank you that in the UK, 19 million people have received first vaccine doses already. We pray, Lord, that that rollout would continue apace. I pray too for those who are hesitant about making the decision to whether to take the vaccine. We thank you, Lord, for the roadmap out of lockdown that was presented by the government last Monday. And we thank you, Lord, that it's cautious but progressive. But we ask two things. Lord, we pray that the conditions at each stage would be met easily so that progress will be swift, and that you would continue to provide for those who are struggling with the restrictions, enabling them to keep going. Pray also for the government to make wise decisions in all that lies ahead, including how all the financial help given to those who need it will be paid for. And we pray, Lord, that you would sustain those affected by the pandemic, whether health-wise, mentally, financially, or whatever, and that you would, over this period, Lord, many would come to put their trust in the Lord Jesus.
And Father God, we thank you for all you've done for Berry Street Community Church over the past 4 years. We pray that at our church meeting tomorrow, that we would be wise in decisions made, that we would be open and honest with each other in our worries and fears, that we'd be united in the way forward, Lord. Father, we just long to reopen and welcome others back to the building. Father, we pray for those who are preparing for that reopening next Sunday. We pray for safety, and we thank you so much that we will be able to meet together in person again to worship you. Father, we ask for the other groups. We ask for wisdom in how to reach out to our community again, how to reopen to Tots and Monday Meet. And Father, we just pray that many would come to know and love you through our witness in our community. Lord, we pray for the world. We pray for those in Myanmar, disrupted by this coup. We pray for the many who've lost their lives there. We pray for your peace, and we pray that the Christians there will be able to speak about you, even though they can't do it freely. Father, we pray for the schoolgirls in Nigeria who were captured in this second kidnapping this Friday, Lord. We pray for their safety and protection, and we ask that their captors, the kidnappers, would release them back to their friends and family. Father, you know far more than we do about what's happening in the world and everywhere, Lord. And so we bring these things to you in faith that you are working your purposes out, Lord. Father, we pray that your name would be glorified in each of these situations. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to point to you when we talk about them. We ask all these things in your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Nigel and Anna. Before we come to God's word, we are going to sing again. We're going to sing Speak, O Lord, a song with great words to prepare us to listen to God's word. Ely. She will read to us from God's word. Please turn back to Luke chapter 12. Margaret's going to read from verse 13 to verse 34.
Mark 12:13-34. The parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He brought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, That is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. Do not worry. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or eat. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And now much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Margaret, thank you so much. And please keep your Bibles open. Let's pray. Father, we ask that we would humbly listen to your word, knowing we need every mercy to do what it says. Please be generous to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. These days, I only buy a newspaper on a Saturday. One of the reasons for that is that in a newspaper on a Saturday, you don't actually get any news, but it's full of interesting stories about how sheep have been stuck up trees or how certain people have been spending lockdown. Now, yesterday I saw an article about how some people in their late teens or early 20s have been striking it big on the stock market. They've spent lockdown the last year learning how to play stocks and shares. Some of them have made tens of thousands of pounds. Some of them have made hundreds of thousands of pounds. Now, I dare say there's probably a lot more who have lost an awful lot of money. But the article went on to say, you know, why have you learned to do this? And they said, we don't want boring jobs. We don't want boring lives. We don't want to work to have to save up for stuff. Whatever we want it right away. Now, I wonder if you've ever daydreamed, thought about, considered that sort of thinking, to be loaded, really loaded, to be like them, to have enough money to be able to live life easy, to be able to pay someone to get up in the middle of the night to look after your kids. Now, it seems that thinking like that, maybe That is even your great ambition, to have loads of money. It's quite a common, natural way of thinking. It seems that it was common in the Lord Jesus' time as well as our time. But is that the way? That thinking, that striving, that ambition to make loads of money and to take life easy, is that how the Lord Jesus wants people to live? Does he say that is a good way to live? And perhaps, especially for those of us who consider ourselves followers of the Lord Jesus, is that what he wants for our lives? Well, no. And in our passage today, the Lord Jesus calls a man who has that ultimate ambition to make loads of money and to take life easy. He calls him a fool. A fool. That is a foolish way to live your life. Now, you may be very smart, either a man or a woman, but if that is what matters most, God says in verse 20, you fool. To live like that is not compatible with a life of faith in him. Now, I remember back at school, speaking to someone called a careers officer. I don't know if they still have those people, but they did when I was at school. And they asked you a bunch of questions and put that data into a machine. And kind of at the end of the process, it told you what you wanted to do with your life. Yeah, a few people are nodding about that. Well, I think every 15-year-old boy in Glasgow who liked to be outdoors was told that they were going to be a tree surgeon, okay? I'm no careers officer, but I want to tell you this morning what the Lord Jesus wants for your life. He wants you to live a life of faith, not the life of a fool. And Jesus says to us today in verse 15, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. This is serious stuff this morning, folks, because the Lord Jesus had to die on a cross if we are to live a life of faith and not the life of a fool. Now, what's happening in our passage? Well, back at the start of chapter 12, we're told that a vast crowd has come to listen to the Lord Jesus. They're trampling over each other to get there. He's teaching his disciples when a voice in the crowd shouts in verse 13, teacher, teacher, and tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. In those days, the older brother usually was the main inheritor. In fact, he was often the person who divvied out the rest of the inheritance. This man in the crowd is shouting to Jesus to tell his brother, give me a better bit of the pie. Now, it seems that the Lord Jesus knows this man's heart. This man is not after his granny's collection of carpenter records, okay? This man is after more money. That's what he wants. The contents of his parents' or his grandparents' bank account. And instead of telling the man what he wants to hear, Jesus gives a warning to the whole crowd that thinking about getting rich and living life easy, as if that's what life's about. He tells them this parable about a rich fool. It's a really easy story, isn't it? Farmer has a bumper year at harvest time. He's got so many crops that he can't even store them in his barn. So he decides that he's going to tear down those barns, he's going to build bigger barns, and then he's going to live off the profits. He's going to take life easy. He's going to eat, drink, and be merry. Now, don't misunderstand. This is not a parable about being lazy, okay? It's not saying that. And it's not a parable about making no money whatsoever. But the punchline is verse 20. When God says, you fool, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is the danger, as I've said, of thinking that this life is all there is, that this life is just about accumulating stuff, that this life is all about what I want, I want, I want, and not giving a hoot about what God thinks about it. It's about the danger of thinking that our money in this life will somehow have an effect on God in the next life. And Jesus says, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, because that is not the life that God is happy with. What I want to do today for the rest of our time is just compare the life of a fool that Jesus is talking about and then the life of faith that he wants us to live. Let me tell you what a foolish way of thinking about life is. Number one, the fool thinks about themselves far too much. Look at verse 17, when the farmer's crops do well. Listen to this. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Verse 18, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus ones. And I'll say to myself, do you see what he's thinking? A very clever sort. His entire point of reference was me, myself. What can I and my family get out of it? No thought for others or for what God thinks. And Jesus says, it's foolish to think of ourselves too much. The next lesson that Jesus is teaching us is that the fool believes that he's in control of his life. Verse 19, and I'll say to myself, you've plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. As he looked to the future, the man thought, I'm in charge. I can do this over the next few years. Folks, a year ago, over 120,000 people now made plans for the rest of their lives. Now, sadly, those people are dead. Some of them we know. One day we will die as well. Our plans may not come to anything. Why? Because we are not God. We do not even know if we'll be here tomorrow. We are not in control of the length of our lives. And to think that we are is to think, Jesus says, like a fool. Another mark of foolish thinking, well, it's pursuing an easy life. What was the man's ambition? Verse 19, take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Well, that's the ambition of loads of people. Imagine never needing to go to work, to do whatever we want. It sounds great, but Jesus says that's the ambition of a fool. One more mark of foolish thinking. Well, the fool treasures what will be left behind. Did you spot that the man never even got to build his bigger barns? On the very day that the thought came to him, God said, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. A phrase that my gran Affleck liked to use when she was slipping you a few quid so that you could buy an ice cream and holiday was, son, you can't take it with you. For my English friends who are watching, you can't take your money with you when you die. We may not want to let go of things, but the day will come when we have no choice. And what was the Lord Jesus talking about? A way of thinking that comes really easy, I think, to all of us. Not just to rich people. He's not just attacking rich people in the crowd, because I reckon that most people who were in the crowd that day were pretty ordinary folk, were pretty poor folk. This is aimed at everyone. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. There's a danger here for us who live in this country, who many of us maybe have subscriptions to Amazon Prime, not slating that, but who can buy whatever we want at whatever hour of the day. Jesus says, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. The reality is we need the Lord Jesus to save us and transform us from thinking like this and from living like this. The Lord Jesus was the wisest man who ever lived. He was never a fool. Yet when you read the Gospels, it seems that the only possessions he had were the clothes on his back. Another part of the New Testament says that in heaven he was rich beyond our imaginations, yet he became poor, a man with nothing, a man humiliated, naked, and as he died on the cross, scorned, so that we would become rich, not in possessions, but to have the riches of heaven, forgiveness of our sins, forgiveness for thinking like fools, eternal life in the Lord Jesus. Have you ever read or seen one of those interviews about how someone super famous or rich has made it to the top and they've talked about how empty they felt when they got there? There was no peace. There was no contentment. Well, that's because to think that life is just about an abundance of stuff is to think foolishly. And lives do not consist in an abundance of possessions. Now, if you're watching this, and for the first time, this makes sense. If you don't consider yourself a Christian, the Lord Jesus can rescue us from this way of thinking. He can provide us with what you may consider that what's missing. He went to the cross and he died for thinking that all life is an abundance of possession. He died so that on the night God takes your life, he would not say to you, you fool, but my dear disciple. And as we ask the Lord Jesus to forgive us, he does it. And he changes us and he moves us away from this kind of thinking, rescues us from it. But he still says to us, watch out, be on your guard. We don't know when our lives will be taken. Now, here's something amazing. After giving that warning about living that way, he says there's another way to live, what I call the life of faith, the life of faith in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, well, that's not about thinking of yourself too much, but it's thinking more about God's care. Look at verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. If we think this life is all there is, we're going to worry that we don't have enough food and clothes and everything else. But Jesus says not to worry. Why? Because there's more to life. A relationship with God. That is the most important thing we need in our lives, to put our lives in his hand. And we're not to worry. And Jesus says in verse 24, consider the ravens. We've already considered the sparrows this morning, but he says, consider the raven. Do they plant crops? Do they, you know, have cattle and have bank accounts? No. Yet God feeds them. When you're out for your walk today and a little bird flies past you, you know, you can say, little bird, you're beautiful, but God cares for me more. Or think about the daffodils that grow on the grass verge of the A10. They're not exactly well tended. But the Lord Jesus says, not even King Solomon, perhaps the greatest king in the Old Testament, who had lots of bling, and I mean lots of bling, he can't be compared to the beautiful daffodils and our manky A10. Yet, God cares more about us than daffodils. And he promises to look after us. Look at how verse 28 ends. You of little faith. The Lord Jesus is calling us to trust God more than our possessions, more than our bank accounts. And our little faith will be fed and it will grow as we look at the birds and the daffodils and say, if God cares for them, how much more does he care for us? The people that he sent the Lord Jesus to save. We're to think less of ourselves and more about how great God is. The person of faith also knows that their life is in God's hands. Verse 25, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? I wonder if anyone has ever stopped worrying by being told, oh, don't worry. I'm sure like me, you find that quite hard. But ultimately, the length of time we have on earth is in God's hands. All of us, our births, our deaths, it's in God's hands. I do not have control over that. Now, here's the difference between the person of the life of faith and the life of a fool. Okay? See, the life of faith isn't saying, don't make plans at all, or don't take good care of my body or my family. But as I make plans, here's the difference. I say, if it's the Lord's will, I will do these things. I will go here or there tomorrow or the next day. If it's the Lord's will. Why? Because my life is in his hands and I don't need to worry. I'm not trusting myself. I'm trusting God. Third thing, the person of faith doesn't pursue an easy life. Instead, the person of faith pursues the kingdom of God. Verse 29, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. We're not to spend our time worrying about the kind of stuff that our world runs after, a world that is rejecting God. We're to spend our time pursuing God's kingdom. Now, what does that mean? At its simplest, it means we spend our life saying, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? That's what a follower of Jesus is here to do. Lord, what would you, how can I serve today? Now, I'm going to ask some difficult questions here. Young people, why do you want to do well at school? I'm serious. Is it to make loads of money? Is that your great ambition? Now, listen to me, parents. It's okay. This is not an invitation for them to not work hard, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But if your motivation is to take life easy, to eat, drink, and be merry, the Lord Jesus says, you fool. Or do you go to school saying, Lord, what would you have me do? Those working, what is your big purpose of being at work? To take life easy? Or are you saying, Lord, what would you have me do? Parents, what do you want for your children? Do you want them to be able to take life easy and to eat, drink, and be merry? Whoa! Are you saying, Lord, when it comes to my children, what would you have me do? Those a little older, perhaps your dream is to get your mortgage paid off so that you can take life easy. Lord, what would you have me do? Those who are even a little bit older than that, maybe retired, Are you looking to take life easy? Or do you need to say, Lord Jesus, what would you have me do? How can I pursue your kingdom? All of us, whatever age we are we generous to one another, to church, to friends? Do our non-Christian friends kind of look at us and one of the ways they would describe us is as being generous? Or would they say that we're worried about stuff? We want to take life easy and eat, drink, and be merry. You see, the promise of these verses is that as we seek first God's kingdom, the things that we need will be given to us. That's the promise. Seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. The Lord Jesus is far more gracious than we are. I've said it so many times before. The Lord Jesus is not stingy. His grace is not doled out in teaspoonfuls, but by the bucket load. The life of faith thinks less about themselves, more about God's care. The life of the person of faith believes that their life's in God's hands, not that they're in control. The life of faith is about pursuing God's kingdom first. Lord, what would you have me do? Finally, the life of faith treasures not the stuff that's going to pass away and be forgotten about, but treasures what's going to last forever. Verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Those who live lives of faith in the Lord Jesus will always be a little flock. But he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Look at what our Father has given, the kingdom. In other words, something that's going to last forever, an eternal dwelling, heaven. Why is he pleased to give us this? Because he's pleased with the Lord Jesus. Pleased with what he did as he died on the cross, pleased that we are trusting him for our eternal well-being. And as we treasure more what lasts forever and not what is passing away, we're set free to be generous. That's why the Lord Jesus says, sell your possession, give to the poor, you know, look after one another. As we treasure what lasts forever, we'll have open hands and open wallets and be generous with our stuff and what God has given. And we need to close. But let me ask this. If tonight your life was demanded of you by God, what would he say to us? You fool? Or welcome to your eternal kingdom? Where's your treasure at? That's where Jesus ends. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For life does not consist of an abundance of possessions. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, too often, I've wanted far more the things of this world. Even this week, my eyes have been filled with greed. My heart needs to be changed. Father, as shopping is delivered to our doors so easily and stuff is just one click away, please, would we watch out and be on our guard? Please, would we remember that our lives are not just about possessions. The more important is faith in the Lord Jesus and a life of faith. Help us to treasure more that which lasts forever. Please forgive us. Please help us to refocus. Please, would we be on guard? Help us to ask, Lord, what would you have me do? We want to seek your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing again one more time as we close. It's a modern kind of rendition of an older song. You'll recognize the chorus, even if you don't recognize perhaps the verses that go with it. But it's great because it's a song that says we can trust the Lord Jesus. We can live lives of faith in him. And he will always watch over us. And let's stay standing at the end as well for our closing prayer. Ailey, will you roll the VT?
Savior's love.
Well, if you know the grace, then let's say that together wherever you are. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.